This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk. Did you know that there are thousands of sailing events of all types around the world? Dramatic photos are captured with the bows of boats pitching into the waves upwind or colorful spinnakers billowing downwind. There are races that are in bays, in straits, in gulfs, fjords, in bights, sounds, coves, and on lakes, and in the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. There are yacht clubs and community sailing programs in countries around the world. There are super yacht races, tall ship races, dinghy races, collegiate races, and teams preparing for the Olympics for their respective countries. The photographers and media professionals who cover these races capture photographs and words to describe the passion, the excitement, the crashes, and the mastery of the moments as sailors, pro and amateur, compete for cups and prizes of all shapes and sizes. In the U.S., over 84 million adults participated in sailing last year, and more than 11 million boats were registered. Sailing in the Indian Ocean and along the Nile through Egypt, there are dhows, the wooden boats of all shapes and sizes that fishermen and traders have been sailing in for thousands of years. Our tall ship history is abundant with culture and cargo and skilled people traveling from country to country, continent to continent. In 2020, Sailsport Talk cannot expect to cover all the news, but what you can expect from us is that we will be talking with people who are passionate about what they do, people who have courage, who have drive, and who have vision, but also with people with a profound love of the world's waterways, whose most precious moments are often silently experienced as a small human being on a planet where life above and below the water is so prevalent, we oftentimes don't think about how small the land is in comparison. It is no wonder that we are fascinated with the people who sail for sport and pleasure, and the many other types of boats that are part of our connections to each other in life on Earth. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and we welcome you to the world of sailing in 2020. In America, in the next 2 weeks, there are boat shows in Houston, Texas, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, Kansas, Missouri, Los Angeles, California, Stuart, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, and Naples, Florida. You don't have to be a competitive sailor to enjoy and experience fun on the water. Any boat is fun on the water. If you want to try it out, visit a local boat show, network with people who are there, and find out about your local community of sailors and power boaters. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. Tuesdays at 9:40, we check in with our friend Karen Lyle from Sailsport Talk, usually in studio. Karen, though, has an interview, and here it is.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk. Terry Hutchinson, skipper and executive director of the New York Yacht Club American Magic, is calling in from Pensacola today. This is Terry's fifth time in a career America's Cup campaign. Terry, it is an honor to have you on the show.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Leading up to this, you are a 16-time world champion in various classes and have been named U.S. Sailing Rolex Yachtsman of the Year, not just once, but twice. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What was it that got you really interested in becoming a career sailor?
Well, I was born and raised on the Chesapeake Bay, and I'm the youngest of three kids, and I think really my love for sailing and really for the water came out of growing up at the West River Sailing Club and then at the Severn Sailing Association and eventually the Annapolis Yacht Club and really growing a huge appreciation for sailing and sailing on the Chesapeake. My brother and my sister didn't really take on to the sport too much, but we had a cruising boat, and so we'd spend summers drifting around the Chesapeake Bay in the hot August months, and there was just always something about it that there was a certain freedom that came when I was out by myself sailing around the West River. And so from there it grew into a competitive passion, and you know, the beauty of our sport is it's one of those things that regardless of how much you do it, no race is the same. And so you can never really, you can never conquer Mother Nature.
We don't know exactly what to expect.
That's right. You know, San Francisco Bay, you probably have a better idea, at least in the summer months, what you get with the, and there you're dealing with the current as much as you are the breeze. But, you know, it's a, the sport is such a, it's such an awesome challenge day in and day out. And so regardless of whether or not you're a club racer or taking on the America's Cup like we are, we all face the same challenges, and that's probably the coolest thing about it.
Well, now you're leading up to the campaign for Auckland in 2021, and this is really an emotional moment for the New York Yacht Club wanting to get that trophy back.
So, I think there's a few of us that want to get that trophy back, and I think, you know, as you rightfully point out, representing the New York Yacht Club, really for me as a sailor, having grown up with mentors like Dennis Conner and Gary Jobson, and you know, my first image of the America's Cup is when Gary and Ted and the Courageous team won in 1977. That's what sticks with me when I first think of the America's Cup. That's what I think of, and then watching Dennis in '80, and then you know, ultimately the defeat in '83, and then winning back in '87. Obviously not for New York, but the history that the club has in the event. You know, they were the trustee of the Cup for 132 years. And as this campaign evolved, and as our three principals decided and discussed, you know, who we were going to represent, you know, New York was the first and obvious choice because of, you know, really their longstanding legacy in the America's Cup and really their position in our sport as a leading club.
It is the longest winning streak in sports history to date, 132
yeah.
years for New York Yacht
yeah.
Club. So this is actually yeah. how it all began back in, what, 1851?
Yes, it is. And, you know, that's a, when we first started the program, I don't think I quite had the appreciation for what it means to the club. You know, as a sailor, I know what it means on the water and ashore and such. But really, when you meet folks that have been on the winning side of the America's Cup for the New York Yacht Club, on the losing side for the New York Yacht Club, and really some of the senior members in our club now who competed in the late 60s and early 70s and won the event, you know, it does take on new meaning. And it's hard probably really to put it into words, but when you walk into the foyer of the clubhouse on 44th Street, you know, you see the empty table really where the cup belongs. And then you go into the model room and you see the significance of what is in that room. You definitely have an appreciation for what we're doing and who we're doing it for, why we're doing it. And yeah, I mean, again, for me, it's an absolute honor. I couldn't think of a better opportunity. And at the same time, you know, we have a lot of work in front of us. So we have to make sure that we do ourselves and do the club proud.
Who are the key leaders who helped decide to put together this American Magic team?
The evolution of the team really started in June of 2017. I've been fortunate enough to work for Doug DeVos and Hap Fouth over the last decade, and independent of each other, we had separate conversations and finally coordinated a meeting with Doug and Hap, and the idea was hatched. And from there, we went and met with Commodore Lotz and Commodore Elwell, who sit on the America's Cup committee for the New York Yacht Club, and asked them if they would consider having us take on this great adventure. And as the time passed through August and early September, it became reality, and you know, early October of 2017, we announced our partnership, and 12 a.m. on January 1st, 2018, we entered the regatta.
I imagine that was an emotional moment for a lot of people.
I don't know if it's an emotional moment. I think it's part of the step. You know, the emotional moment will be bolting that cup back down in
yes.
44th Street. So that'll be the emotional moment, but yeah, there's a lot of work to do between now and then, and if we're fortunate enough to have that opportunity, it'll be an absolute blessing. So,
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and we're talking with Terry Hutchinson, skipper and executive director of the New York Yacht Club American Magic Team, calling in from Pensacola. Terry, I was looking at the website, and there's like more than 100 people that are contributing to this team. You've got quite a lot of energy and talent dedicated to winning this trophy back.
No, we do.
How many are actually sailors and that work with you on the boat training for this?
There's 21 sailors that are part of the team, and then the rest of the team, the lion's share of the team is, you know, designers, boat builders, shore team, you know, sailmakers, administrative staff, and so it's quite the operation to get the boat off the dock, out onto the race course, and then back onto the dock. You know, I think as you rightfully point out, you know, we have, while we're under a new umbrella, we have a fair amount of experience within the team, and it's been awesome to watch the evolution of it all. You know, a year and a half ago, we made a decision to build our little mule prototype that we sailed for the better part of 14 months. And the idea behind that boat was to really put the all parts of the team in motion and see how we were going to operate and how we were going to develop and evolve, you know, because while some of us had worked together, not all of us had worked together. And it's been, you know, that little boat itself has been worth its weight in gold because it gave us that opportunity to learn about each other and how, you know, when we all see something that's white, to make sure that it is white, or, you know, to learn about the nuances of each team member. And then from there, we've been incredibly fortunate to have a great boat building team up in Bristol, Rhode Island, led by Brandon Linton. They have built and delivered us Boat One Defiant, but the manner in which those guys are operating, you know, I think as a sailing team, at the end of the day, they set a really high standard for us. And so we have to make sure we don't let them down.
Is there a certain amount of iteration between the sailing team and the design team?
Yeah, I mean, Marcelino and Boat Team Partners, we've worked with really since 2005 when I worked at Team New Zealand. And then at the end of that, Marcelino and his design firm have done 5 TT52s for Quantum Racing, and they did the most recent Bellamente. So we have a fair amount of history with Marcelino and the work that he's done. You know, this is a much bigger exercise than just one design office. And that's, you know, so the team itself, while we started small, when it grew out, you know, they built up a team around them, a design team around them that they felt was going to be able to design and develop really something that's never been done. And so I, you know, standing here today, it's been awesome to see, and it's been great to see in the early days the strengths and weaknesses really of Defiant, and we have a long way to go over the next 3 months in developing her for the first regattas coming up in April.
Well, and you have to keep some of these things secret because unlike the newest race, SailGP, where everybody has everybody else's statistics, you have to keep the design under wrap so that you don't influence the other designs and have them take your... How do you keep that secret when you're still putting videos out there where the public can see you?
Yeah, well, there's no shrouding of the boats, and so when you pull your boat out of the shed, everybody gets to see what you have. But the design and production loop of appendages or of hulls, if we saw something now on another team's boat, it's going to be difficult to duplicate it really before this time next year. And so, you know, you kind of think when we look at it, we look at it in the terms of understanding our strengths and weaknesses against the two other challengers in the Defender, because our design path is somewhat, you know, we're somewhat decided, and we know where we're going and what we're doing. And so you keep your eye on them, and you have to trust in the designers and the work that they're doing, and trust in the fact that as we develop, that we're going to get more right than we're going to get wrong. It's probably no more complicated than that. If we react to the competition and take a tack towards what they're doing, the knock-on effect of that needs to be a really good reason. You need to see something to really prop that change. And yet you also have to respect the other three teams because they're very, very smart. And so it's certainly a little bit of cat and mouse.
I would like to just ask you for a moment to speak to the young sailors out there who might be considering a career path. that would lead them to a position that you're in. What would you say to them?
I've been personally incredibly lucky because I never really expected to completely make my living at racing sailboats. So I would say that I've been incredibly fortunate that way. I was incredibly fortunate to work for some great people, Jim Richardson and Doug DeVos and Ed Reynolds and Hap Falf and John Kilroy. You know, these guys are, pillars of industry and great sailors in their own right. And so having the opportunity to work for them and with them and really always being loyal to their programs served me quite well. I also never really, I always did it for the love of the game. I love the competition. I love going sailing and the actual making the living the part, the financial reward part of it seemed to come. But, following the very simple principle of, showing up and working hard and being on time, and always just being honest with the people that you're working with seem to serve quite well over the years. And it's hard, the competition side is very, very difficult. And especially in the environment where the owner driver has played such a key role to the development and the success of the boat, that's probably been the most rewarding part, is that when you race with guys that are incredibly successful in the business world, and then we translate that over into sailing, it's a very unique and really in some ways it's an unbelievable experience, because we're all part of it, we're all in it together, and that's been the most exciting part.
Terry, it's just been such a pleasure to have you here on the show. This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk, and we've been speaking with Terry Hutchinson, skipper and executive director of the New York Yacht Club, American Magic, calling in from Pensacola today, vying for the America's Cup trophy to bring it back home to the New York Yacht Club.
All right, thank you for that, Karen. We'll take a quick break and we will come on back and shut down the hour. We got a lot more sports talk to come. General Sports Talk with Lieutenant Colonel Rick Tittle.